There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we are wrapping up the 2017 season, talking about the bucket game yesterday, the 31-24 loss at Purdue. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Joining me is David Sugarman, who is one of our writers at Hoosier Huddle. He was also on the WIUX radio call yesterday. David, disappointing loss yesterday. It was disappointing in a lot of phases. How it happened, IU came out flat. They made the mistakes that all of us here said that they couldn't make. The interception early, a chop block penalty wipes out a touchdown. On the first, setting up that first drive, there's a block in the back by Damian Willis that moved things back. Markell just basically matches his season rushing total from the first 11 games yesterday. Just an all-around disappointing, maddening. You know, I'm still angry about it. Just a maddening, head-banging-against-a-wall game for IU yesterday.
Without a doubt. I think the 31-24 score really doesn't tell the story of the game. They showed some good fight late in that game. You know, they got down the field a couple times late, and they recovered one onside kick, even though that's not the one they ended up, you know, they ended up scoring off of it, and did some good things in the fourth quarter when their backs were against the wall, but, you know, too little too late. And like you said, they got absolutely shredded on the ground. I thought the defense was good for a lot of the first half and then showed some chinks in the armor. I think eventually they got tired because the offense really only, outside of those quick drives late in the fourth quarter, didn't sustain many long drives throughout the game. So I didn't think that did them any favors. Richard Lego was not very good, but in his defense, his offensive line was really bad. And outside of one really long run from Ricky Brookins, which makes it look like they ran the ball pretty well, they ran the ball pretty poorly for the most part. So really, in all three phases of the game, or I guess they didn't really do anything terrible special teams, although there was a fake punt. They got beaten all three phases of the game, and that's what you get. And like I said, I think the score is unfortunately misleading.
Yes, it was 31-10. There was probably, 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then Ross Aid Stadium was a party atmosphere all afternoon. And I do want to give a shout-out. I hate to do it, but, man, those Purdue fans deserve a lot of credit. And we'll talk about this later in the show, David, because it's one of the pet peeves I have with Indiana football right now. But that place is sold out, at least from the field. I don't know. I think the upper rows were filled. If it wasn't a sellout, there must have been like one seat that wasn't sold. That place
it certainly
came back. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say it certainly, like you said, it certainly felt like capacity or near capacity crowd. There was a fair amount of red and white in there, and, you know, crimson and cream for the first, you know, 2.5 to 3 quarters, but and then when they rushed the field at the end and well deserved, it looked very full. It looked full and looked it was a bumping type atmosphere, and I think, you know, for a lot of different reasons, it was an important game for both programs. I think it was an important game, maybe a little bit for the state. You know, Indiana is not, you know, obviously not exactly known as a football state by any means, but you know what, two teams, and for the first time ever in the rivalry, the game was important for both teams for more than just pride. You know, both teams were looking for, it was a one-game playoff, essentially. And the Purdue fans took that very seriously. So it was a lot of fun in that sense.
And it was a lot of fun. I think it's great for the state. It's something that I asked Don Fisher and Tom Allen on the radio show was like, what does this do for the culture of Indiana basketball or Indiana football? I'm sorry. Indiana football in a basketball state. This game, it was on ESPN2. There were a lot of stakes. Now, there have been times where both teams have been bowl eligible, one team coming in looking for a bowl while the other team was bowl eligible. They, of course, had the game in 1967 where Purdue came in ranked number 4, and you're playing essentially for a Big Ten title. And IU won and went to the Rose Bowl. But this was, yeah, you're right, it's the first time in history that both teams needed to win to become bowl eligible. And I thought Purdue came out with more fire than IU. And that's what was disappointing. This is, you're looking to make history, winning 5 buckets in a row, trying to get to a bowl game for the 3rd time in a row. And part of the allure of hiring Tom Allen was that you wouldn't have these types of emotional letdowns. You saw every time Purdue made a big tackle, they were up and beating their chest and celebrating. And you could either be a fan of that or not. It doesn't matter. But football is a game of emotion, and Purdue played with more emotion on Saturday than IU did. And that, to me, is the most disappointing part of this game. I thought IU was not aggressive enough on offense. You saw the game changed on that fake punt. IU was prepared for it. They had the punt safe team in. And then you had Chase Dutcher and Chris Covington. They bid on the run fake by the punter. And then he hit the long snapper. It was the same exact fake punt play they ran against Northwestern a couple weeks ago. It had been on tape. I was on the sideline, David, for that. Fans behind me were like, hey, they're going to fake it. I think everybody in the building knew they were going to fake it, but Indiana just didn't execute on the field. And that's a disappointing thing. They were not aggressive. Purdue came out, hit Indiana in the mouth, with that interception and touchdown. But IU recovered 7-7, and then that fake punt started to blow the doors off there a little bit. 21-10 at halftime. Outside of that Ricky Brookins run, if they don't get that run, it's 21-7 and really bad. And IU made the chop block penalty that took back a touchdown. They picked a bad day to play a game.
Without a doubt, I agree with you. I think they came out a little bit flat. And I think, you mentioned the fake punt. I think both teams should have, certainly offensively, showed what they are. Jeff Brohm is very much known, and when he came from Western Kentucky, for having a deep bag of tricks. And he showed that there was a fake punt. It didn't work, but there was a flea flicker. And there was also, they ran it twice, and it worked both times, about 5 or 6 yards out from the goal line. They ran a sweep run play for Anthrop both times, I think maybe even going to the same side, and they both scored touchdowns. And maybe it's because they don't think they have the players to do it or what, but IU's offense is very vanilla. They had Peyton Ramsey in there, and when he was healthy, I know you need to have a certain skill set to do certain things. But, we saw what Purdue is, and Purdue, like we said, we hate to say it, but they're exciting. And I don't – this isn't a one-off. They're going to be good because people are going to see what they do, and they're going to want to play that brand of football. And it's very exciting, and they've got a coach that's willing to take risks and willing to gamble and do things. And Indiana, I know a lot of people were upset with Mike DeBoard in year one, and I wouldn't jump ship this just yet, but I know a lot of the complaints about Mike DeBoard was that the offense, in large part, seemed very vanilla and safe this year.
Yeah, and that's – it was – you kept waiting for them to break something out in terms of a gadget play or using, guys like Wop Fillier in different ways and like that. Now, I don't know if Peyton Ramsey could have played. Tom Allen said he was too injured to play. He wasn't ready. They probably, if they needed to, had to go to Tronti. But he played against Rutgers. And that's what's mind-boggling to me. Did he get banged again in practice? Or did he just throw him out there against Rutgers and just to get him through the last, 8, 9 minutes of that game? Or do they not have faith in him? to put him in a game like this. What difference Ramsey would have made, I don't know. Indiana, outside of that Ricky Brookins run, ran for 60 yards. The offensive line got totally dominated. And I mean, the point, every run was up the middle. They busted one, but man, you got to try and start doing something different. Maybe run the ball outside. I don't know. I think it's going to be back. Should he be back? Like a change? Yeah, it comes down to this, and we'll talk about this in depth a little bit later, Dave. But Purdue's football staff gets paid as a staff $7 million. Indiana's football staff, I think, is around $4.3 or $4.1 million, and that's including assistants. So Purdue's willing, and this is why Purdue's set up to win a little bit better than IU, is that, yeah, sure, Jeff Brohm could leave. A lot of jobs opening. It's going to be interesting. He could leave this year. He could leave next year. But Purdue's willing to spend the money and take a chance to get another good coach up there. And that's the difference between IU and Purdue. Say what you want about Tom Allen. I like him. I think he's the right coach for Indiana. But he is inexperienced. And how you help inexperienced coaches, you give him the tools that he needs to build an experienced staff and quality staff to come in there and help him out, get over the learning curve.
100%. I think you make a lot of good points. I know a lot of people, are bullish on Tom Allen, especially now that year one, went south. And they didn't go on a real coaching search, if you will. But I do like Tom Allen. I still do believe he could be the guy for them. But I think you make a point. I mean, there aren't a lot of differences between Indiana and Purdue, you might say. And then, you look at a number like that, over $2 million, and there's a reason. Like, when you look at the big boy programs, the Alabamas and the Auburns and the Ohio States of the world, and see how much money their coaching staffs make. Well, the best assistants and coordinators make top dollar. So I think there's certainly something to be said for that.
Yeah, and IU's never going to be able to pay what Ohio State and Alabama plays because they bring in 100,000 fans a game. But for a school like Purdue, whose stadium, if it was capacity yesterday, is about 900 seats, all in IU. That's $2 a seat. That's a lot of money there that IU could be spending. But Purdue has other revenue sources. They serve beer stadium. That place is packed yesterday. Say what you will about beer sales, lines were down the concourse. That's money that Purdue has, IU doesn't right now. And that goes into upgrading the stadium, building the fantastic indoor practice facility that they have next to the stadium, redoing concourses, paying distance, having a really nice press box. It's all these things, add up to production on the field. Jeff Brohm's slogan coming into the year was "Let's play football." On paper, when you hear it, it sounds silly. Let's play football. Come on. Let's be real. But that's the attitude that IU needs. Let's play football. And it's more than just the product in the field and snapping the ball and throwing the ball and catching the ball. It's what do you need to give this program to win? Now, they're upgrading the facilities at Memorial Stadium. That's great. The stadium is going to look fantastic. But Purdue's facilities are football only. And that might make a difference in recruiting and some stuff. But Indiana's press box is falling apart. There's leaks whenever it rains or somebody flushes the toilet, leaks from the ceiling. You and I have been in there, and it's probably the worst press box in the Big Ten. Now, I haven't been to all the Big Ten press boxes, but I'm pretty sure Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa have better press boxes. The bathrooms in Memorial Stadium are dark and dank. The concourses are dark and dank. You can't get people in the stands because of pass outs. You don't serve alcohol for whatever reason. Now, Indiana's got to catch up with the times before they fall even further behind again and make sure that this season, 2017, is just a blip on the radar instead of a downward trend.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is it's not just one thing. It's not just the product on the field. There's a whole thing, especially at the collegiate level, that goes into building a successful and first-class program. So I think you hit on a lot of good points.
Yeah, and it, you know, Purdue has history. They're the cradle of quarterbacks. It is maddening that that place was sold out. And as much as I want to hate it, it was cool to be in that atmosphere. And if you go back to last year when Indiana was playing for a bowl, it was the same type of weather. 30,000 people maybe showed up for a team trying to go for back-to-back bowls and all that stuff. So, you know, I get it. I get Indiana doesn't have the history that Purdue has. But at some point, you're going to have to – the administration is going to have to treat this program like a golden goose and not something breaks even and is just there to get you to basketball season. But let's get back to the game a little bit, David. What else stood out to you about it? I mean, they made a furious comeback, so I don't want to say they quit on the team, but why was there a lack of energy?
You know, I don't know about the lack of energy. I just don't, you know, where that comes from, or at least at times, you know, that's how it seemed. But I will say, you know, on a bright note, I thought Tazier Mack was really good. He finished with 7 catches for 132 yards and a score, and he was sort of quiet some weeks and loud others, and he made some really big plays in that game. You know, Simi Cobb finishes with 105 yards and a score on 7 catches, but they targeted him almost 20 times, and I think something that struck me, and they let it go on both ends, although there was a couple more pass interference calls, I thought, on Indiana than Purdue. The corners were very, very physical with Indiana, particularly with Simi, and he's not a guy who's afraid to mix it up and get physical and hand check and all that. And I thought the physicality of Purdue's defense, and particularly in the secondary, was really, really good. I know that Richard Lego finished with 373 passing yards, and the stats don't look quite as bad as, you know, and tell the story of the game he had. But I thought the physicality, both in the secondary and, of course, at the line, you know, Purdue's front four really dominated the line of scrimmage, was something that was, you know, really the big difference on that end. But from a positive, I thought there were a few receivers that played well. Cobbs did some nice things. Tazier Mack, future's good with him. You know, between him and Nick Westbrook, that's a really good combo next year, assuming Westbrook comes back healthy and ready to go. And while they didn't get a lot of production on the ground, I guess Cole Guest showed some flashes. I know Morgan Ellison, I think, was carted off the field and ended up being taken to a hospital. So, you know, fingers crossed on that. But so there were a couple of good individual performances, but in large part, I thought the physicality on both ends was really what set the teams apart.
Yeah, and Purdue was more physical. Their defensive line was more physical. They looked like they hit harder when they tackled, while Indiana was just taking guys down like a regular tackle. Purdue looked like they were using the hit stick on Madden or something. DeJuan Hunt was laying the wood. Wap Fillier got crushed on a kick return, and that just fired the crowd up. It came down to emotion, and those hard hits, being playing physical, that's all about want and emotion. So it's kind of concerning to me. I can't put my finger on it either, David. I don't know why a team with all this on the line, playing your arch rival, why there's an emotional letdown. I had to ask Alan that after the game, and were they too juiced up? You know, sometimes you get too juiced up and your feeling gets going a little early and you get to the game and it's a letdown. But I have no idea, and that's the concerning part about it. But, look, credit to Purdue. I think they wanted it more, because I think that takes away from the Indiana players. But clearly, it showed that they were on a mission yesterday to win this game, get to a bowl game, to West Lafayette, and just put what restore order to their universe in their world. And going forward, I think now you have a real rivalry again. Can IU bring the bucket back to Bloomington next year in Bloomington? How's that crowd going to look at the end of the year? I don't want to hear any more excuses from fans that this is on Thanksgiving weekend or it's a noon start. Purdue fans showed up, and credit to them. They showed up. Their students showed up. That place was packed. So, you know, it's up and going forward into 2018. There's going to be a lot of questions. Who's going to be the quarterback? Reese Taylor had an awesome night last night. Congrats to him on winning the state title with Ben Davis. But if Ramsey was healthy, you know, him not playing showed me two things. Either he was not healthy enough to play, which Tom Allen said postgame, or they have zero faith in him going forward. And they're going to need to bring in a couple of quarterbacks in this class. And hopefully there's the early signing day coming up. I think it's December 19th, 20th coming up. They're going to have class, which is ranked 39th nationally right now. Keep it together, get these guys in, and, you know, get back to work, because this is not the breakthrough year that Tom Allen and this program wanted. And it's, you know, it's now put up or shut up time. You had your honeymoon period, the breakthrough thing, you know, the mindset, I get it. I like it and all that stuff, but fans want to see a product on the field that is a breakthrough. They don't, as nice as the shutout against Charleston Southern was, they don't care about that. They want to beat Purdue and they want to get to a bowl game. And we'll see if they could do that next year.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was a different coach and it was a different mindset, but the breakthrough, it became sort of a joke is the wrong word, but it became a little bit of an overused thing. And every week it was like, would this be the breakthrough win? And some people thought, well, if they beat who they need to be, Rutgers, Illinois, and Purdue, then that'll be a breakthrough. If they get back to a bowl, it'll be a breakthrough. No, they need an upset for a breakthrough. And they didn't really do any of those things. So whatever you define as a breakthrough, you know, 5-7 without a real quality win. I'm not going to call Virginia a quality win, really. And, of course, you know, not really Rutgers or Illinois or anything like that. So, you know, by all accounts, it was, you know, a disappointing year. I'm sure as we look back, there are things to be happy about. You know, I don't know the defensive performance wasn't good, but I imagine they're going to be or close to be a top 25 defense. They came into the year wanting to do that, and they came into last yesterday, the 22nd total defense. So, you know, there's certain things to look on, but overall, all in all, it's a disappointing year. And like you said, they'll have to go right back to work. And there's a lot of things they need to figure out as a team and sort of take a deeper look at themselves as a program, because they've been sort of doing this climb for a few years now, maybe the last 4 or 5 years, and Purdue did that same climb in one season and frankly did it better.
Yeah. And speaking of the top 25 defense, according to collegefootballstats.com, Indiana finished 26th in total defense, just 1.1 yards behind Boise State for 25th. So, again, close, and that's the theme of the year. It's close to breakthrough, but no cigar. And we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, what changes do they need to make? Does Tom Allen need to give up some of the play calling duties on at defensive coordinator and give more control to Mark Hagan and things like that, and take a firmer grasp on the rest of his team? Is he going to have the stones to fire a friend? It's a hard thing to do. It's a position I would never want to be in, but you have to take a long look at this and see that this is the offense is the reason why this team was 5-7. And can they go get a younger offensive coordinator who has more imagination, or you roll the dice with the board next year and say, look, we couldn't do anything because our offensive line didn't play well, and we were just calling plays with one hand behind tied behind our backs. We'll see. It's a big off season for Indiana because next year is huge. Next year determines whether 2017 was a blip on the radar or if it's just a downward trend. And everybody should be angry about this loss at Purdue. Fans, coaches, players, administration. I hope the administration's angry about it because Purdue just outdid IU in every facet of the game. On the field, off the field, around the stadium, they just did it better than IU's done in a long time. And that should be a challenge. If Purdue's really your rival, that should be a challenge to IU, to everybody at IU. We need to do better. And we'll see. We'll see if this administration, class and everybody up top really want to win at football or just happy collecting a check, getting 35,000 people in the stadium and be going to the bowl game. I get it. I'm still angry, David. Some of this is an emotional response, but I have kept a lot of this in for most of the season just because it's not fair to judge a team through 6 games or 8 games or 10 games. You have to let the ball ride. And you know what? 5-7, it was not good enough for this team, and it shouldn't be good enough for the program. And some changes need to come.
No, 100%. You're right. It's certainly a disappointment. Expectations by Indiana standards were high. There were a lot of people thought, you know, they thought for sure 6 wins. They thought, I predicted at the beginning of the year 7 wins. I really did. I thought they were going to get one of the Michigan State-Maryland game. I thought they'd be able to win those last three. And neither of those things happened. They sort of get the annual pass because early on in the Big Ten schedule because it was so difficult. But that Maryland game felt like where the season really went south. I know they had won 2 in a row and they had the chance yesterday to erase a lot of that negativity. But they had been getting a pass because all the teams they were playing were extremely, extremely difficult, whether it be Wisconsin or Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State or on down the line. But
yep.
Then they lose to a banged-up, not great Maryland team in a game where they led going into the fourth. And that's kind of where I think people, you know, might have thrown in the towel on this team a little bit. I credit to them because they didn't throw in the towel as a team, I don't think, in large part. But that's where I think that was emblematic of their issues because that should have been a win. They needed that win, and they didn't do it against – I got it was on the road, but that Maryland team was really banged up and having all sorts of issues, and they couldn't get the job done. That was kind of the turning point of the season for me.
And even more disappointing to them, I know hindsight 2020, Maryland, I lost out on the season. They got smoked by Penn State yesterday. They lost to Rutgers. They just didn't do much after that win. Now, if Maryland – you feel a little bit better if Maryland goes on and wins 7 or 8 games. You go, you know what? They got hot and whatever. But the way that IU lost that game, poor defensive performance, poor special teams performance, two areas where IU was vastly improved this year. And yeah, you're right. That game turned on Maryland, and it would have been so easy just to write them off there. But it's not fair to. You have to let the season play out just because college football. It's so – you've seen it this year. You saw it 10 years ago in 2007. It's crazy. And anything could happen any week. Iowa destroyed Ohio State, then lost to Purdue. And, you know, people are like, how did that happen? I like to reserve judgment till the end of the season. But, yeah, that Maryland game – You look back at that game. You look back at Michigan State, which was a completely winnable game. You score a touchdown there, and that game is probably over. You make it a two-score game, and it, you know, it's 13. What was it? It would have been 13-3, a 10-point lead with about seven or 8 minutes left, and that game's probably over. You look at Michigan and an overtime loss there. A couple bad calls go against IU in that game too. And, you know, who knows if they recover that onside kick, he's ruled in bounds, they might win that. So I hate saying that they're really close, but yeah, you can look back at several games, including Maryland, and kind of go, what if, you know, what if they recovered the onside kick there? You know, but that's, you got to make plays, and that's what it comes down to. You have to score a touchdown to put teams away. That's what good, really good teams do. They score touchdowns to put teams away. They recover onside kicks, inbounds. They, you know, don't turn the ball over. They don't have penalties on the opening, you know, offensive drive. IU isn't there yet, but that's part of that breakthrough mentality, which will probably back off on the marketing side of, but part of that mentality. You got to start doing those little things that great teams do, and those little teams will add up, and maybe one day it'll work out for IU. But right now, it's just disappointment, and I don't want to say heartbreak, because it wasn't a heartbreaking loss. It was just an angering loss.
I agree. I don't think, yeah, heartbreaking sort of implies that it came down to the last play, and something happened or a play wasn't made. But it was more, I think, frustrating and a little bit head-scratching, you know, for a team that had really fought over, you know, throughout the season and really clawed their way. I know it was Rutgers and Illinois, but they had their backs against the wall and did what they needed to do. That Illinois game was maybe frustratingly close for a long time. But and then they came out, and it was, like you said, a little bit of a head-scratcher. You know, they just didn't come out with any with what they needed to do, and that was pretty evident through, I don't know, about halfway through the second quarter on.
Yeah, you know, going after that fake punt, man, you know, Richard Fant mistimes the jump on a deep ball, and that was all she wrote. It was just they really never recovered. Yeah, Simi Cobbs and Taysir Mack played well. Wop had a touchdown. And they're going to have some tools coming back, but they have a lot of stuff to figure out, and hopefully they do it here in the next few weeks. You're going to have a lot of quality coaches on all these staffs of with a lot of turnover who you might be able to bring in if the administration is willing to pony up. Any good business person, what you pay for. And Indiana's staff is the lowest paid in the Big Ten. And if you're going to go by that standard, they overachieved. Indiana got more than they bargained for in that, but Indiana should have higher standards than that. They need to pony up, and it's on the administration to open the pocketbook a little bit, get what they need to get, take this program, make it a good program. There's no reason that Indiana football should be bottom dweller for all of history.
100%. And, like you said, the work starts now. The journey hopefully starts, you know. They can feel bad for themselves for a day or two, and then they got to get right back on the horse, because everyone's only getting better in the Big Ten. I think we saw, you know, with Purdue – being, you know, much better now, and even Rutgers, like, making some improvements. I would say, like, outside of Illinois, there is not another perpetually really, really awful team in the Big Ten consistently in football right now. You know, Purdue's better. Rutgers is better. Maryland, you know, would have been pretty good this year had it not been for the injuries. You know, that opening day winning against Texas proved that. And, of course, you've got the big boys up top. You know, I know Minnesota kind of had a down year. I don't think they're terrible. I mean, it's everybody, you know, so they, no rest for the weary. They got to get up and, you know, bootstraps, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And IU has to get better. Sure, Maryland wasn't great this year, but they're in that hot recruiting hotbed in the DFB. They have some talent on that roster and a good coach, DJ Durkin. Rutgers, the same thing. They had a disappointing end to the year, but they won three conference games. That was more than IU. IU won this year. They're in a recruiting hotbed. Those are the advantages that IU doesn't have. IU has to recruit more on a national level. Sure, there are some great players in the state of Indiana, but you're competing against Purdue, against Notre Dame. Ohio State comes in and gets guys. Michigan comes in and gets guys. And then, yeah, you're right. Illinois is in the same boat as Indiana. They might be a little bit more worse off because I don't know if this Lovie Smith experiment is going to work out. You saw the frustration yesterday where a defensive lineman picked up and chucked the flag at the referee, which I don't know how many times IU fans and myself wanted to do that this year. So I was oddly happy that that guy did it. It was the power on man. But you know, they were willing to open the pocketbook and take a shot. And Indiana's been doing this. I was talking to Matt Weaver of Pigs.com about this. Indiana's been trying to do the same thing on the cheap side of things for 100 years, and it hasn't worked. And it's time to break that cycle. It's time to open up the pocketbook and get, you know, find an offense, a new and exciting offense coordinator who could come in a few years. Look, if a coach, if he does well and leaves, more power to you. That's great. Then you bring in the next hot coach and things like that. So this is why attendance matters in football. Instead of getting 30,000 people a game, you get 50,000 or 52,000. You have a lot more money to spend on these things that make middling programs into programs.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. And, you know, like I said, the program after you like that, in a lot of different respects, you know, needs to take a little bit of a look in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, David, thanks for joining me on this Sunday morning. I keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_. We'll have all your IU offseason news and notes, signing, early signing days coming up in about 3 weeks. We'll see if IU could keep class together. They should be able to. And if they do, it gives you a little bit more hope for the future. Anyway, I do want to thank our writers, David. I want to thank you and Alex, TJ, Vin, and Chris. All you guys have done a fantastic job this season. And I wish we had one more month of football to worry about, but get into some off-season content. And thank you, fans, for staying with us this year and listening. Enjoy your NFL Sunday. Enjoy this year, Thanksgiving week. And, you know, enjoy championship week next week. David, thanks.
Thanks so much, Sammy. All right.
All right, that does it for our podcast today. We will have other podcasts on recruited coming out throughout the off season, so stay tuned to HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have you covered throughout the winter.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.